This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to bring you Diary Week news for the week, news around the world. So much is happening. I must admit, I'm just going to give you this as a rundown update. I'm not really the most entertaining person or the most entertained person, but I do get to hear from good sources that nice things are happening. It seems as if everybody, when it's Academy Awards, gets excited. The 93rd Academy Awards took place, and Nomadland wins Best Picture at the 93rd Academy Awards. Oscars 2021. You know those things that trend? People don't sleep, stay up to watch them. Is it still that much of a fanfare, glitz and glam? Or COVID has just happened so much? You know, and I have definitely seen previously the criticism from various people say transformation, questions of diversity around these awards, and people really asking, where is the black talent? Why is it that it seems like black people are hard to come in terms of winning these awards? So this slate of 2021 seems to have had some notable firsts, and it was the first time an all-black producing team was nominated for Best Picture. The first time two actors of Asian descent received a nod for Best Actor, and the first year that two women were nominated for Best Director. When the winners were revealed, it reflected this spirit of inclusion. So it seems as if the wheels of transformation grind ever so slowly, even in spaces where you would think it shouldn't be that difficult, you know, to achieve these things. But we saw there Chloe Zhao took home the Best Directing Trophy, becoming the second woman to claim the title. And the film, of course, was Nomadland, which snagged the top prize of the night, Best Picture. So definitely interesting things. And I know South Africans are excited. I've been seeing this on Twitter about a Netflix original documentary from South Africa, My Octopus Teacher, which took Best Documentary, at the Oscars. A huge privilege to represent this place I love, said the, I think, what's her name? I'll remember. I'd seen it. Elke something. Pipa, I think, making those remarks to really take in the moment. Do you have the trailer?
I remember the day when it all started, seeing this really strange thing. A lot of people say an octopus is like an alien. But the strange thing is, as you get closer to them, you realize that you're very similar in a lot of ways. It's a hard thing to explain, but sometimes you just get a feeling and you know there's something to this creature that's very unusual. There's something to learn here. I had to have a radical change in my life, and the only way I knew it was to be in this.
You are listening to that trailer, My Octopus Teacher, which won Best Documentary. Eza Semzansi representing us, Emazweni, over the seas. Very, very, very well done and well achieved. You know, it's always remarkable when the nation gets something to be fascinated about and really talk about. So, what else did we see? Mia Neal and Jamaica Wilson, two-thirds of the hairstyling and makeup team behind Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. They also made history on Sunday. The pair are the first black women to receive a nomination for Best Makeup and Hairstyling, and now the first to win. Like I'm saying, these things of inclusion, they are so fascinatingly worrying at times. You would think that we've long been mastering makeup, hairstyling, beauty, and so on, but it doesn't clearly move that way. But we really been seeing some of those first. Yoo Jung-yeon was the first Korean performer to win at the ceremony in one of the four acting categories. Yeon won won the Best Supporting Actress Prize for her work in Lee Isaac Chung's Minari. So yeah, that's the lighter side of life. You know, the things that keep us entertained when we are not watching the news. So very, very good to see that. What else? Those who love football. If you are not into movies and pictures and moving, but you are into moving men chasing the ball, there is that team called Bafana Bafana, which was meant to announce its coach. It has been postponed. Well, Maskepe said last week it's the worst kept secret because it seems as if the Portuguese 60-year-old Carlos Queiroz will be probably returning. If they have not announced, it might be because there are work permit issues and traveling restrictions and so on. But we'll just have to keep waiting until Bafana Bafana, I won't say Banana Banana, announce the coach. Safa clearly not covering themselves up in glory. Oh, yes, there are, of course, bad news. Let me tell you the bad news. Mango staff may not get their salaries in May. That's the Mango Airlines. What's happening? Seems like Ichelete is running low. Money. The state-owned low-cost airline is unlikely to be able to pay the salaries to its 500 or so employees from May as it battles to stay afloat. And it seems as if the suggestion is that if they don't get the money they need as Mango Airlines, they are going to have to ground their flights on the 1st of May 2021. I don't even know what it is like flying during the pandemic. Nagatsaba COVID, guys. I don't trust those airplanes. So I haven't been on an airplane since February or March 2020. So it's not my struggle. How do I get home? Just drive, hit the road, Jack, and don't cry no more. So that is what I do when I have to travel. It is quite strenuous, I know, and I think I'm really trying lady luck here. At some point, I'm going to have to probably hop on to a flight and just make sure that I go where I need to go. But for now, I'm really still paranoid about COVID and airports and flights. But that's the story from Mango. And you know that Mango is part and parcel of the broader ecosystem, is the broader ecosystem of the SAA company there. So what will happen to the step down, step aside with the ANC and Ace Magashule? I don't know, but it seems like the clock is ticking. The 30 days is coming to an end. Has he had all the meetings that he wanted? Has he consulted enough? I do not know, but I will be joined by Levin Doe to take us through some of these political issues, because we also know that President Cyril Ramaphosa will appear before the state capture inquiry this week on April 28 and 29 in his capacity as ANC president. We hope that eventually this will fly it off, because Deputy Chief Justice Zondo definitely has a lot of questions. And here on Power Talk, we also have a lot of questions for the president. You'll remember we did that open line marathon where we were saying, what questions would you put to President Ramaphosa were he to appear before the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into state capture? So these are the important things. And then lastly, this day in history, 26 April 1964. Tanganyika and Zanzibar united to form the United Republic of Tanzania. A Tanzania in Azania, or close to Azania. Let me put it that way. Yeah, so that's where we stand this morning with the week's diary. Before I go to Levin Doe, let me go to the shops.
The station for news and talk, Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now we're talking.
And of course, if you do not have any of those wavelengths to access Power 98.7 on DST, it is 889. This morning, we talk all things step aside and what to expect with the president appearing. If you want to be part of that, 0861-987-000 is our line. Levin Doe, good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning to the listeners at home. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for making the time. I mean, we always have this moment of trying to appear as if we are political sangomas, a prelude, because we see as tandindaba. We just can't help ourselves. We want to say something instead of waiting for the event to happen. And we know that we expect the president, Cyril Ramaphosa, to appear before the Zondo Commission. How important a moment is that going to be if it happens? I think that proviso is important.
This should be a very important moment for South Africa. It's an important moment for the ANC and indeed for the Commission. Why do we say so? We say so because at the center of all the matters that are being discussed or the evidence that is being brought forward at the Commission, it is the ANC or the ANC leaders. Because the ANC has made a commitment to cooperate with the Commission, the ANC has encouraged its members to cooperate with the Commission, we must then see their leader leading from the front and ensuring that he provides the much needed evidence that is required by the Commission.
Now, Levy, exactly building on that point, is there an inherent political risk to this move?
Well, I don't think so. Firstly, the ANC, if it has to cleanse itself from issues relating to corruption, they should actually be bold enough to go out and provide as much information that is needed so that when they continue to make mistakes, people will actually be saying, this is what you said you are actually prepared to move away from. Number two, it is not and only the ANC that is involved in corrupt activities. So because the ANC is the governing party, the courage that they have in going into the Commission has a potential also to encourage others and assist South Africans to move a step further away from corrupt activities.
Levy, I understand that, you know, there are a lot of things that have been said about the ANC. ANC leaders implicated at the Commission to a point that some have been going to fundraise from other individuals who were implicated or who appeared as witnesses before the Commission. It seems to me that the ecosystem of corruption has been part and parcel of funding for the ANC and creeping it as a viable organization. Are there some questions that you are expecting the president to answer to, which might be quite a thorny issue for the ANC and its finances?
Indeed. Remember, former President Zuma has decided not to cooperate with the Commission. So to a certain extent, I would expect the Commission to stretch its arms and want to know what has been the role of the president, because the deputy president then is going to be on the stand. But what I think will be crucial for all of us is to have an understanding whether some of the dodgy arrangements that were taking place between the ANC and some funders, President Ramaphosa was aware of that.
Now,
need to know.
I hear this a lot, Levy. I mean, here, I think even earlier, it was Tsidi who said on the line, you know what, when President Ramaphosa was said to be a messiah, sold as the savior, I said, but it's not like he was absent in the 9 years. And I think this is why I ask of the inherent political risk, that could it be that his appearance might compromise the ANC further if he's unable to give the type of answers, one, that the Commission expects, and two, the citizens as onlookers expect?
Well, I think it will depend on as to whether we as ordinary citizens expect him to know everything or expect him to have the details. You might get a situation where some people were given a responsibility to do funding, would actually focus on funding and do whatever they do without the knowledge of others. Mm. But what will then be important will be to say, if there was something suspicious that took place, did he know about it? And what is it that he might have done in order to prevent that from happening? But, you know, there is also this issue amongst a lot of people that will say, maybe there was a moment in which the ANC leaders will sit down in a formal meeting and say, let us all go out and participate in a corrupt activity. Or maybe there were certain individuals within the ANC who would have secret meetings elsewhere and isolate others and say, let's go and participate in a corrupt activity, having isolated others. That is the information that we need to get from the president as he appears before the commission today. Whether it can break or build the ANC, it is up to the ANC leadership to decide what is best for South Africa and what is it that they can present in the commission up to an extent where people will end up saying they acknowledge their mistakes and they seem to be prepared to change.
Levy, I mean, what is best for South Africa? Someone might ask, does the ANC even know what that looks like these days?
What is best for South Africa, for me, would be for the ANC to be at the forefront to fight against corruption, and the ANC having to encourage its own members and ordinary citizens not to participate in corruption, and they must then support law enforcement institutions to ensure that there is law and order in South Africa without fear or favor.
Levy, just on that point, one topical issue has been this step aside matter that clearly has the movement gripped in disagreement and a lot of robust and heated conversation. Do you think it is an important step on fighting corruption, or it is just a cosmetic step making sure that the optics look right where the ANC is concerned?
I think for me this is an important step in the fight against corruption by the ANC. But I've got worrying factors about the step aside issue. What is worrying for me is that it is only now that certain leaders of the ANC want to rediscuss the matter instead of implementing their own resolutions. And some members of the ANC are using it as a launchpad for factionalism within the party. But very crucial question for me is, why should we have the ANC having to question its own resolutions and legality now, instead of utilizing the professionals that are there at their disposal, so that they end up not taking resolutions where they'll always be arguing and arguing about it rather than implementing it?
So it means it seems as if you're pointing to something that has always worried me at times, how they arrive at resolutions at a particular conference. Are they viable? Do they test the capacity for them to, one, understand and interpret properly and then be able to implement them? Because this seems to be saying at source, at conference in Nasrec, when those resolutions were being written down or drafted, somebody didn't do due diligence enough to check whether this would be well easy to interpret for everybody in the organization.
The spokesperson of the NTT says that with the discussion they had with the president of the ANC, that robust discussions within the ANC have deteriorated. My suspicion would be that resolutions were just taken without looking at the details, because most of those who went to Nasrec were focusing on electing leaders rather than focusing on important things that have got negative or positive impact on the party. And for me, I think the ANC has to learn from this, that the caliber of delegates sent to conference would produce what you actually have today.
And Levy, in the absence of an overhaul of the ANC structurally, can they tackle corruption?
It depends on what they want to see, or the direction that they want to see South Africa moving towards. South Africa has got very good institutions to fight crime and corruption. What you need is the political will and provide sufficient support to law enforcement agencies, whether you are ANC or any other political party. If we stand together in the fight against corruption, I'm convinced that we can be able to overcome this biggest enemy of our nation today.
Levy, I'm sure that you and I will continue watching carefully the developments in the political landscape. Thank you very much for joining us this morning on Power Talk.
You're always welcome.
Thank you. That's Levy Ndo, political analyst.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.